Back on the 22nd of September, I had the opportunity to preach a revival at the United Church of Christ. And the revival theme was falling in love with God again. I'd spent a lot of time preparing for that message because, one, I'd never preached a revival. And thankfully, the way things worked out, we had homecoming that Sunday at St. Paul, and we had angels speaking down here, so I really didn't have to do a whole lot of preparation for our church service, so I was able to focus a little bit on revival. And I kept asking myself, what does it mean to fall in love with God again? And what I kept being drawn to was the importance and the power of relationships. And I preached the message. I feel like the Holy Spirit was moving. I mean, a lot of things happened. A lot of people responded to the Word. But it didn't stop there. That stayed in my heart, and it stayed in my heart for these last couple weeks. And it seems like everywhere I've turned, there's been some question about relationship and about what it means to be in a relationship, whether it be with husband and wife or with friends or with relationships with employers, employees, or whether it be a relationship, a spiritual relationship that you have with God. So it seems like everywhere I went, that's still been there. So what I kept feeling in my heart is that, well, there was something else that had to be said, that maybe I didn't get said. Maybe there was an answer that I was still looking for, that I was being called to look at. So I'm going to continue talking about that a little bit today. And as I talk about it, one of the scriptures that really has spoke strongly to me over these last couple weeks is out of Colossians 3, verses 14 and 15. And it says, "And the most important piece of clothing that you must wear is love. And the most important piece of clothing that you must wear is love. Love is what binds us together in perfect harmony." So when I think about waking up each day, I kind of feel like what we're being called to do is to consciously put on the clothing of love. To put on the fact that we're going to love today. We're going to love today no matter what. We're going to love everything that we do. We're going to love everybody that we come in contact with. And it's going to require work to do that, but we're going to do it. And the reason I think that's important is because I think that it's too easy for us as human beings not to love. It's easy for us to hate something. It's easy for us to dislike something. It's easy for us to say, well, we're not going to love anymore, so this is the way it's going to be. And as I come to this point, one of the things that really comes to me as a recurring thought, recurring pattern, is that of routines. Routines can be dangerous. Routines, or I like to call them ruts, they can become dangerous. If we do the same thing every day, every time, the same way, then I think we get into that pattern of being monotonous. We get into a pattern of things not being exciting anymore, and we get into a pattern of things just being really on autopilot. Now think about what happens for a minute as I try to use this analogy. Think about what happens if you're driving down a muddy road. If you keep driving down that muddy road over and over and over, what eventually happens to the tracks? We get ruts, right? We get ruts in those tracks. And if you've ever spent a lot of time driving off-road or driving down those muddy roads, no matter what you do, when you go down that road, if the ruts are there, where are you going to drive? You're going to drive in the ruts. If you try to get outside of the ruts, you're eventually going to slide back into them. If you try to get outside of the real deep ruts, then what might happen is you might turn over. But no matter what, unless you really, really, really work at it, once you're going down that path and the ruts are deep, it's hard to get out of them. It requires a lot of work to get out of those ruts. And the reason that I share that is I think relationships are very similar to that at times, especially long-term relationships. I want you to think, and you don't have to answer this, but you probably know somebody, I know a lot of people, that have been in long-term marital relationships or friendships, that one day they just woke up and said, you know what? I don't know this person anymore. I don't love this person anymore. There's nothing exciting anymore. We do the same thing every day. We get up, we go to work, we come home, we eat supper, we watch TV, we go to bed, get up and do it all over the next day. But I've got a lot of friends that mean 20, 15, 20, 25, 30 years of marriage. Eventually that just said, you know what, I don't love this person anymore, I don't know this person anymore, and go their separate ways. Because they have fallen into those ruts of being there, same thing, day in, day out. That mutual love, caring, growing relationship has disappeared. It's been swallowed up by that rut or by that pattern. And when that happens, they, rather than work at it, they say, well, you know what? I'm just going to do something different. I saw something posted on a social website this week that said, divorce is easy, but marriage is hard. But nothing worth having is easy. So if we think about what it means to have those relationships, we've got to work to have those relationships. Think just for a minute about what it's like to be in a loving relationship. Think about the boyfriend, girlfriend early on in a relationship. Everything that they did, the dates, the gifts, the simple time spent together, they're just giddy and happy and they didn't see any faults in anybody. Early on, I mean, there's nothing wrong. I mean, this person could be the world's worst person, but if somebody is in love with them, they don't see the faults. They only see the good. No matter what, they only see that good. Everything about them, there's that, you can tell when somebody's happy in a relationship looking at their face. I mean, is that smile on their heart, that smile on their face that's there is pretty obvious. But on the other hand, those that are just surviving in a relationship, well, it's pretty obvious because that spark is not there. Those that are willing to give up in a relationship is pretty obvious. The relationships that become stagnant. And the reason I share this morning is because I believe that our relationship with our Heavenly Father is the same way. I believe our relationship with our Heavenly Father is the same way. I believe that we can become stagnant in a rut, in a pattern, a routine, whatever you want to call it, unless we seek to actively grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ as our Savior. I think that we get into a habit of existing and not so much one of loving if we're not careful. I've shared on more than one occasion here, John 21, verses 15 and 17, 15 through 17, because it really speaks a lot to me, but I think it's really powerful scripture that talks about our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know the story. Peter had denied Christ three times on the night that he was taken into custody before the cock crowed. And then when Jesus comes back later to Peter after everything's happened, he comes up to Peter on the lake shore and says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, of course, Lord, you know everything about me. You know I love you. And then Jesus said, well, feed my sheep or feed my lambs. And then he asked him again. And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, tend to my sheep. And then he asked him again. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And then Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Peter's getting aggravated. And then Jesus said, feed my sheep. And the point that Jesus was trying to call Peter to see is that if you love me, do something about it. If you love me, do something about it. Don't tell me you love me. Show me that you love me. Show me that you love me by your acts of compassion, your acts of love, and your acts of service. It is not merely, it is not enough to sit here and say, yes, I love you. Love is not a proclamation. Love is not something we put on a card. Love is not something that we say and thinks that it makes everything better. Love is something that we do. It's something that we show. It's something that we act out. It is not just a matter of words. So I hope our time today that we have together is about how we rekindle that love, that flame, that fire in our hearts that fire that we have of the Holy Spirit that we received on the day of Pentecost, about how that church was put into motion and people were sent out to do all of these things, to make disciples. We have to reclaim that love in our hearts. Because brothers and sisters, we find ourselves in a lot of ruts in our life. Think about it. We get up, we come to church on Sunday mornings. This is what we do. Then we have our afternoon plans. We do whatever else. And then we come back to church next week. What do we do in between? Our problem as people in general, as mortal beings, of course we're not perfect, but we've got this habit of falling into the routine, and we don't want to step out of our comfort zone. We get into those ruts. It takes too much work to get out of the ruts, so we stay in the ruts and just day in, day out. Right there in the middle might be the best place to be, but there's a tire track here and a tire track here, kind of like this church with pews on each side, and we don't want to get into that middle. We want to stay where the tire tracks are. Think about it just for a minute. We say that we practice spiritual discipline, but how many times do we really take our Bibles out and do anything about it? Maybe we brag about our favorite sports team. I've never missed a West Stanley football game in 15 years. Or I hadn't missed a NASCAR race on television in the last 6 years. But then if I follow that up with a question is, well, tell me, how's your church attendance been compared to that? And it probably has been good, but that's not a stat that people hold on to or a figure that people hold on to. Because that's just part of their routine that they do, and there's not as much emphasis there. A couple months ago, or back in August, I had a chance to go to a week-long session for clergy called Clergy. It was Clergy Center for Professional Health. And we spent about 12 hours a day talking about spiritual discipline. Because one of the problems that pastors frequently encounter is that we get into those ruts with our spiritual discipline. You think about whenever I pull out a Bible, and I read the Bible, but when I pull out a Bible, what's one of the things that's always going into my mind? What do you think? Well, it's one of the things that I'm always thinking about anytime I read a scripture. This is a pop quiz. How can I use that on Sunday? How can I use that on Sunday? How can I build that into a sermon? How can I share that word with others so that other people understand it? But how many times am I able to sit there and say, well, how does that apply in my life? Because I can't quit thinking about what I have to do as a preacher. And so some of the things that I have done is I've got a Bible that I don't use in church on Sundays. I got a Bible that I don't use for preparing sermons. And I got a Bible that stays in my house that is mine, that has my notes. What does this say to me? What does this do for my own spiritual discipline? To call me to question myself. Yeah, I use my Wesley Study Bible here, but that's not the Bible that I use whenever I'm trying to study for myself. So how is it, again, that we practice spiritual discipline? What can we do maybe to keep that fire burning, that fire alive, or something that speaks to us so that our relationship does not become stagnant? Because there are a lot of things that we know needs to be done. Yes, we know we need to read the Bible. How much do we do it? We know that social injustice occurs and somebody needs to do something about it, but it may not be us. We know that there are hungry that need to be fed in our communities, but we'll pray that somebody else, that the hungry are fed, and somebody else can do something about it. We find it easy to claim Christ when it's convenient, easy to deny Christ, just like Peter did, whenever it's not so convenient, because we are human beings. And that doesn't say anything specifically about us as individuals, other than the fact that we're human beings, we're not perfect, and we will fall into those ruts if we allow ourselves to go there. But what I want you to think this morning, and I think this is really the part of that secret, is think back to that time when you first experienced Jesus Christ in your heart. Think back to that time when you accepted Christ, when you said, yes, Lord, I choose to follow you. Or perhaps if you were baptized as an adult, what did it feel like when you come up out of that water? Or maybe you've witnessed the baptism of another person. What did it feel like when you thought back about what was actually happening there, what's meant? Or maybe when you witnessed a miracle, maybe a miracle in your own life or a miracle in another person's life, what did it feel like when you saw that? Well, brothers and sisters, that spark, that fire, that immense love is what we want to reclaim and carry out through our entire relationship. That's that thing that puts that smile on our heart and that smile on our face, that other people will know who we are, why we're who we are, and that we have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that we're not in that rut, in a tire track on one side or the other, on autopilot, doing the same thing over and over and over. When we think about that relationship with Jesus Christ, we can say, I am a Christian. We read that this morning. I am a Christian. But how will other people know that you're a Christian? Will they see that twinkle in your eye, that spark in your heart? Will they see it? It's easy enough for us to pick out young couples that are dating. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if you go anywhere that a young couple is hanging out, people can deny that they're boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, but you can pick it out pretty quick. They got that spark when they're talking about it. The people that are together, that spark's there. How will people know that you have that spark for Jesus Christ in your life? How is it that they know that Christ is your Savior? When we have that love in our hearts, that spark in our heart, then people know it is Jesus Christ who strengthens us. And our Heavenly Father who gives us hope. When we're in the presence of the Lord, we know that God's grace and mercy, we felt it. When we have felt that, that's beyond description. I can't tell you fully what God's grace feels like. But I know it is something that is so powerful, so special. And it's something that I don't want to live. I mean, that I don't want to lose in my life. That I want to live out God's grace in my life. That's the relationship that we want. God doesn't keep a record of our rights and wrongs, and people will say, well, I can't come to church, my sins are too bad. Or I can't have a relationship with Jesus because if he only knew what I've done, well, he knows. He knows, and he still loves you right where you are. And that he has his grace, he stands ready to pour out his grace and mercy on anybody that will accept him in their heart. And that's how we, as Christians, when we live out the love of Jesus Christ, we model the gospel, then other people will know who we are. And as we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and love our neighbor, then we're doing exactly what Jesus told Peter. Feed my sheep. If you love me, do something about it. If you love me, show me that you love me by your actions and your love and your service. But we know it requires work. Deep relationship requires work, and it's not something that's just going to happen. Whether it be a relationship with husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case is, it requires work. And it requires work for us to grow in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. But we want that smile on our face, we want that smile on our heart, and we want that bond to be inseparable. Now He's promised, our God has promised that bond is inseparable. But a lot of times we think that we can be separated from the love of God. But we're not. Nothing separates us from the love of God. Not life, not death, not powers, not principalities. Nothing separates us from the love of God. And that's what we have to hold in our heart. So I ask this morning, in comparison to our other life activities, whether it be hobbies or sports or leisure or whatever the case is, how much time are we willing to spend in devotion and prayer and practice and reflection and Bible study and in church to foster that deep relationship? Because the last thing we want is to neglect our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus, in spite of all he dealt with, never neglected his Father. And we can never neglect Jesus Christ. You think about it. God sent His Son willingly to die on the cross for our sin, that we would have forgiveness of sin, and a promise of everlasting life. Jesus Christ willingly went, took on our sin, died a sinner's death, because they loved us so much. So is it too much for us, for them to ask, is it too much to ask that we be head over heels in love with them? After all, He gave His life for you and me. So when we think about that, then we can find our hope there. And we can find our hope in knowing that our God loves us where we are, and that our God will help us to grow if we simply will allow it to happen. It might be uncomfortable, but we have to make ourselves, we have to submit ourselves to that change, that same change that we took on with our baptism. And we said, this is who we were, and this is who we're going to be now. So remember, the most important piece of clothing that we put on each day is love. Because love is what binds us together in a perfect harmony. And we know love is that thing that is patient, it bears all things, endures all things, believes all things, and hopes all things. And that love will never end. And if you have ever felt that amazing love, and I know you have, if you felt that amazing love in your heart from our Savior, then that's what we want to live out in our lives each day. So today I say to you, let us live out the love of Jesus Christ, not only in our hearts, but in every place that we go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.